microphone, but I guess got my mouth got bigger. I forgot. Now I'm on. Now you can hear me. I need to say that again. I love that part of the song where it said, "Look, there's flowing a crimson tide." I wanted that to be heard. But anyhow, that's great. The service, the Sunday school, the time is great. I'm glad to have Debbie Sue back. And thank y'all for coming back. You know, it's just that you'd come back and hear me again. Thank you. That means the world to me. I love the hymns. I love those songs. Don't you? Don't you love those songs? The music director got up one Sunday and said, "I want anybody, I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 75, and whoever can get the closest to that number, you get to pick three hymns." So this 83-year-old lady raised her hand. She said, 62. He said, "That's the number." He said, "Miss Jones, you get to come up here and pick three hymns." And she went up there and she says, "I'll take him, him, and him." So she picked three hymns. So that's how that worked. So I love that. I love the songs. I love y'all's spirit. I love what you stand for. What a beautiful church. What a great bunch of folks. Thank you for having us. And we love you. I mean that very sincerely. Tonight, I want you to come back. Please bring somebody, will you? I want to preach on the mask cover-up. Does that not sound interesting? The mask cover-up. And I'm bringing my mask to the service to show you my math. But that's the message titled, "The Mask Cover-Up." So tonight we'll do that. But God bless y'all. And turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 24. I mean it. It's so good. I love those. I love the songs. Y'all got some good singers in this church. I just love listening to you. Proverbs chapter 24. That was good. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16. And we're going to go down to verse 22. The title of the message, I want you to get write this one down too. So I like to do a lot of take-home stuff. Someone says, "Brother Keith, when you retire one day, what are you going to do?" I'm going to be at the place where, like a McDonald's, let people take-home stuff because I'm doing it now. But take-home, this is another take-home. I thought the title of today's message is "Don't Waste a Failure." Don't waste a failure. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16. "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth." Verse 18. "Lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious of the wicked, for there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out." Verse 21. "My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. For their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both?" Powerful verses. Today, don't waste a failure. Heavenly Father, we pray for this service. We pray for this preaching time. The songs were just beautiful. And Lord, it's so easy to preach in a church like this. It's just the people's spirit. And then you hear songs that are so biblical. It just prepares everything for all of us to be open to you. For you to tell us what you want us to know. And for us to do what you want us to do. Lord, I think about the prayer request of someone who lost everything. We're in this beautiful building and every one of us came from our homes. And Lord, today we learned of someone who lost their home this week, lost everything. Thank God they had insurance. But I'm sure there's a lot of things that mean a lot to them that's long gone. So bless them. And then follow the family that is dealing with maybe a sudden death that could be happening. So much is going on in people's lives. And I understand that. And I ask you, Father, to do for them what only you can do. Lord, I need you. I so need you. I can't do this. I've never been able to do this. And even as I stand here after so many years of preaching, there's still that little bit of nervousness inside of me because, Lord, it's not me. I can't say anything to help anybody, but you can. And I believe your spirit can, and I ask you, Father, help me to be a blessing today. And when it's all said and done and we go out this door of the church, may all of us say, "I did what God told me to do, and it was so good to be in God's house. I can face the week and face whatever future may be. in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a lot in those very few verses we read. You know, there's sometimes you can read a book. Maybe you decide you're going to pick up a book at the library or somewhere, and you start reading. You just got to keep reading and reading and reading, maybe a whole chapter, at least a bunch of pages, to be able to get something out of it. But you know, that's what's so special about the Bible. You can pick it up and read just a few verses, and just within a few verses, wow, you'll get something out of it. You know why? Because it's the Word of God. Amen. And it's so powerful. And in these verses right here, it's amazing. Just what we read. Notice what we read. It said, don't rejoice or be glad when your enemy falls or stumbles. And because that displeases the Lord. If there's somebody you don't like, that something goes wrong, don't be happy about that. That displeases the Lord when you look at somebody that way. Now, I got to admit, we all have somebody we don't like. I'm sure there's somebody that we just don't care to go out to eat lunch with. And I remember when I was an early pastor and I'd have people try to get onto me, I'd say, Lord, would you put warts on their tongue? And I don't do that anymore. I don't do that anymore, but I can tell you there's a few times that just somebody get under my say, Lord, let the warts get on their tongue. Now, see, but look, that wouldn't please the Lord then. I've grown up since then. So, no, it displeases the Lord when we're happy when someone stumbles that we're not pleased with. Also, don't be afraid of evil people. You know, now we're living in very troublesome times. We're all talking, oh, I'm just afraid. We're saved. We don't need to be afraid of evil people. The Lord is your salvation. He's the winner. Dr. John R. Rice was in a conference one night, and after he got through preaching, he went down in the bottom of the hotel he was staying in, had a little restaurant. So it was late at night, about 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. He went in there and ate something. He came back out and was walking down the sidewalk in front of the hotel where he was staying, and two boys came up to rob him. And they said, old man, give us your money. We're going to kill you. And he turned around and he looked through his glasses and he said, you can't scare me with heaven. I like that. The old man said, you can't scare me with heaven. Let me tell you something. We're saved, folks. If we left here, we don't need to be afraid of evil people because the best is yet to come. There was this 88-year-old lady who was in her kitchen, and a young man kicked in the back door with a knife, and he said, woman, give me everything you got. I'm going to kill you. She turned around at 88 years old, and she said, Acts 2:38. He threw that knife down, fell down on the floor and spread his arms, and she picked up the phone, called the police. The police got there, and he was still spread out all over the place. And when they picked him up and put the handcuffs behind him, they said, we're just curious. Why did you do that? Why did you just give yourself up to that 88-year-old lady? He says, when I broke in, she looked at me. She said she had an axe and 2.38s, and I knew I'm a dead man. I'm afraid she's got an axe and 2.38s, and I'm done. So listen, this morning, we don't need to be afraid of evil people. Also, it said, don't be envious. Don't be envious of wicked people. How many rock singers and movie stars, they go, oh, look at them. If I could meet them, if I could just touch them, oh. You know what the Bible says about it? Don't be envious of them. Come on now. Because you know what? They live vile lives. They're ungodly lives. And the truth is, they don't care to meet you. Even if you wanted to meet them, all they want you is your money. Verse 20 says, they're not going to get a reward from God. They better enjoy their Grammys. They better enjoy their Oscars because they're not going to get any reward from God. That's the one that counts. The Bible says all these famous people, don't be envious of them. Don't go passing out over them because the end is going to be calamity for them because they live for this present world. Bible says, don't get all up in arms and be excited about them. Then notice verse 16. This is where we're at today. A just man, a saved man, saved woman, falls seven times, rises up again. On November the 9th, 2019, after LSU beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa 46-41, oh, that pains me. I think I'm having a heart attack right now. Help me, Jesus. But LSU beat Alabama 46-41, Nick Saban faced the press and he made the comment, we do not want to waste a failure. So his exact words, we do not want to waste a failure. I heard that and I says, wow, that's powerful. Coach said something great. And I said, there's a sermon in that. And of course, you know, I immediately got on top of that. Let's see what we say. This is what we say. Don't waste an opportunity. That's good. We say, don't waste a success. That's good. We say, don't waste a chance. That's good. We say, don't waste a breath. That's for sure good. But when it comes to failure, we don't say, don't waste a failure, do we? In other words, when a failure comes into our life, it destroys us. The outcome of a failure, a lot of times, brings suicide. Because I failed, I just want to die. We say, someone else did this. It's someone tried. In other words, we blame others for our failures. We make excuses for our failures. There's even some people that will fail and they'll make a joke about it. So we handle failure wrong. We know how to handle success. We don't waste a success. But we don't handle failure right. And I come to you this morning saying we don't need to waste our failures. What do you mean? The Bible is filled with people who failed. It is. Did they waste their failure or did they make something out of it? We also fail. Are we going to make something out of the failure or are we going to waste the failure? I'm here to tell you, don't waste a failure. Amen. Amen. Maybe your failing is wasted because you think you don't fail. In other words, you have the idea, I don't ever do anything wrong. It's always somebody else's fault. It's always circumstances around me cause something to fall apart. But it's not me. It's not me that caused it. Thus, you fail and don't come out of the failure because you think you don't fail. It's always somebody else's fault. I wish you'd write down Proverbs 16:18. Pride cometh before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So in other words, one of the reasons why we mess up, it's not ever anything we do. There's people that are this morning arguing in their home, husbands and wives, and it's all about, it's your fault. No, it's your fault. Instead of somebody taking ownership and say, I'm the failure in this situation. Forgive me. So a lot of times our failures are not dealt with because we think we don't fail. It's always somebody else that is doing wrong. So sad that we do not move forward in life because we blame others, we make excuse, and we justify ourselves because we act self-righteous. True story. In World War II, when German soldiers were nearly mortally wounded, they were brought into the British medical tents. And they were laid out and the doctor would come to the German soldiers and say, you're going to die unless you get blood. True story. And the German soldiers would look at the medical doctors in those British medical tents and say, is it British blood? And the British doctor would say, yes, it is. He said, let me die. And they said just a short time after, you saw body bags being taken out of the tent. Because of their pride, they'd rather die than get blood. There's a lot of people that live the same way. They're so full of pride, they can never come to the place to say, I failed. I messed up. I'm sorry. And you know what? Your demise will be bad. I hope that's not the case with anybody in this room. We need to get to the place, every one of us, like the old song we used to sing, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's so easy to say, the home problem is her fault. The church problem is their fault. The work problem is their fault. And that may be the case sometime, but you're not guiltless all the time. We need to take responsibility. Even in the beginning in Genesis, remember what Adam said? It's the woman, Lord! He was the head of the union. But right from the very start, it was passing the blame. And do we not leave? We've had a whole political year. What's the whole year been about? Passing the blame! It's time for us to, tonight, today, let's have revival and draw a circle and get in and say, Lord, there's a lot of things I failed in. I don't want to waste a failure. Let me give you some examples. Peter didn't waste his failure. Remember, he denied the Lord 3 times and he ended up cussing. As y'all have said, cursing. But down in Fultondale, we say, they was cussing. he got to cussing, denied the Lord. And then after all that, he ended up in John chapter 21 fishing. Y'all remember the story? He had no clothes on. Peter, who was the disciple of the Lord, denied him, cussed, and then we see him in a boat fishing with no clothes on. He was a nude dude. And then when Jesus resurrected and made the appearance, he saw Jesus. Jesus saw him. What did he do? He jumped in the water because he was naked. Good night. Here he was a disciple, and now he's a naked man in the water in the public. Man, it's over for him. It's done for him. He's history. Whew. But he didn't waste a failure. He got right with the Lord. Jesus asked him, "Do you love me?" He said, "Yes, I love you." And he ended up preaching to 3,000 at Pentecost. What I'm saying this morning is that he did not waste a failure. Maybe this morning we're like Peter. Somehow we betrayed the Lord. Maybe there's been some time in your past you remember denying him or betraying him. Maybe there was an opportunity at school or at work that you could have stood for the Lord, but you just decided to be quiet. Maybe there was a time that there was a dirty joke being told. Instead of saying, "I don't want to hear that, I'm going to walk away," you just kind of let him go ahead and tell the dirty joke. And maybe you did something like this. That's just kind of your getting along. And maybe you failed the Lord that way. Maybe there was something God wanted you to do and you just said, "No, I'm not going to do that." You failed the Lord. This morning, don't waste a failure. Say, "Lord, I acknowledge I did that, but I'm coming back to you and I'm not going to waste that failure. If you can use Peter again, you can use me." I want to think about this. Have you ever thought about this? In this same lot of time at the end of Christ's life, there were two men that really failed. Peter and Judas. Judas failed. Look at the decision he made. He hung himself. Peter failed. Look at the decision he made. He came to Christ. It's all left up to us. Don't waste a failure. David didn't waste his failure. David didn't go to battle. Remember the story. Every one of y'all taught it in Sunday school. It's time for kings to go to battle. He stayed at home. He got up that morning after he ate at Jack's Hamburgers and got that big special breakfast. Well, that's not in the Bible, but I'm just trying to get you back. And he went out there and he looked out and he stretched and there was this beautiful woman out there taking a bath. How many of y'all remember that story? Then he said, "Bring her here." He ended up doing wrong with her. She ended up getting pregnant. He ended up making arrangements to have her husband killed so he could have her. It was a big mess. I tell you what my vote is here at New Hope Baptist Church. I make a motion that we just put him in the shredder. I mean, he's bad. Look at all the nasty stuff he did. Do I have a second? Put him in the shredder. There's no hope for David. He didn't waste a failure. Yep, he failed. He blew it bad. But in Psalm 51, let me give you the things he did. He said, "Have mercy on me. Wash me. I acknowledge my transgressions. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. I want truth in me. I want wisdom in me. Hide your face from my sin. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit in me. Don't cast me away, Lord. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. I will help others who have sinned." In other words, "God, I've messed up bad," David is saying. "But when I get right with you, when I see somebody else that's fallen, I'm going to help them to come back to God." Woo! He says, "I have spoken up. I will speak up from you from now on." That's all in Psalm 51. Let's just be honest. We don't know all our lives in this room. Maybe you've failed morally. Maybe today you sit here and you lost your kids. Maybe there's been an abortion in your past. Maybe there's been drugs or drink, a divorce, an affair, and a sexual indiscretion, a filthy mouth, lustful eyes, and lustful thoughts. And the devil wants to hold that against you. Remember what you did? Remember what you said? You remember that? The devil wants to hold that against you. But this morning, you need to not waste a failure. Yep. I messed up bad. The devil wants to remind you to keep you down. But 1 John 1:9, write it down. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:17. What a beautiful verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. No matter what you've done, if it is an abortion, if it is an indiscretion, you get right with God like David did in Psalm 51. He will forgive you as if you never did those sins. Glory, I'm about to have a spell this morning. 1 John 1:7. With all the things I've done, and maybe there's something that only you know about. How is that? How can all of this just be made all right? 1 John 1:7. The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansing power from whatever you failed in. Is that not good? I guess I'm going to put it this way. When Satan comes and knocks at your door to remind you of your past, tell Jesus to answer the door. Just say, Jesus, I know he's trying to come and tell me about my cussing and drinking and carousing. Would you answer that door? And every time the devil meets Jesus, he has to go the other way. Glory. That's powerful, isn't it? Y'all remember Bob Harrington, the chaplain of Bourbon Street? Y'all remember him? He's a friend of mine. He's in heaven now. Bob Harrington was at my church when I was pastoring. And I love, he's real, true, real man of God. And he was amazing when he spoke, preached at the church. And so he told the story about how he just had an evil life. Some of y'all know it. I don't want to get into that. But he preached in our church. And Brother Bob Harrington said that he realized he was at the very end of his life. True story. And he was in a hotel, and he realized how God used him as an evangelist, traveling the country. And he told about how he said, my life is worthless. And he opened a window in the hotel and he was about to jump out the window. And the phone rang in the hotel room that very instant. He went back, he picked up the phone, and the voice on the other end of the line was Rex Humbard. Anybody ever heard of Rex Humbard? I love Rex Humbard. I did. I know he wasn't a bad, but I loved Rex. When I was a little boy, he meant so much to me. And I even talked to him on the phone. That's another story. It's glorious. And Rex said, Bob, this is Rex. You ready to come back to God? And he fell down on his face by the bed in the hotel, and he got right with God. And before he died, he was preaching up a storm. Don't waste a failure. If you've done morally bad things, God never throws you away. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse with. Whoop. Don't waste a failure. Paul didn't waste his failure. You remember before he became Paul, his name was Saul. You know what his life job was? It wasn't working at Talladega Speedway, checking in cars. His job was to kill Christians. He took joy in killing Christians. His name was Saul. Even when Deacon Stephen was being stoned, he held the coats of the men that were stoning him. And then one day on the road to Damascus, the Lord got a hold of him, knocked him off his animal, and he changed from being lost Christian killer to a saved man. He failed bad killing Christians, but he didn't waste a failure. And he got grace for all the things that he'd done wrong. Many years ago, there was a great preacher. His name was Mel Trotter. Mel Trotter was a drunk before he got saved. He was so bad that his little daughter got sick, and His wife had some money. They were very poor and had some money. She said, Mel, take this money, go to the drugstore and buy our little girl some medicine. She needs it bad. So Mel Trotter took the money and he went out the door. And instead of going to the drugstore, he went to the liquor store and he took the medicine money for his daughter and he bought a bottle of liquor. Because he did not get the medicine, the little girl died. And while her body was laid in state there in their house, he came there and he saw his little girl's body there because of him. And he reached inside the casket and he took off her little shoes. And he went and sold those shoes for another drink. How low can you get? And then finally he went to the mission in Chicago and he said, Dear God, I am just so sorry. I'm worthless that I'd even steal the shoes off my baby in the casket. And he fell down and he found God's grace and he ended up being one of the greatest preachers that was ever alive. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, don't waste a failure. If you have messed up your life bad, it's not over for you. That is a glorious thought. There was a nice little like a coffee shop where they had some Danish and things. And the thing that everybody noticed about it, when all the tables were sitting around, there was just one wall. Just one big white wall. White as white could be, even whiter than the ends of these pews. And people just always kind of stayed away from it because it was just so clean in that public environment where coffee was served and Danish was served. So a man came in, never been in there before. He got his coffee, his Danish, and he sat over at a little table and he tripped. And that coffee went all over that white wall. There was about 20 people in that little coffee shop. And they went all at the same time. Said, totally shocked. That wall was ruined. And everybody said, well, that'll never be the same. A man got up from the corner, took a pencil, began to do something on the wall. Within just a few minutes, it ended up being a beautiful painting of an outdoor scene. What was considered messed up was only the beginning of something beautiful. I think about that old Gaither song, He Made Something Beautiful, Beautiful of My Life. I don't know why this was the message for today. I had something else in mind. But I just knew, don't waste a failure. Maybe you've not had one yet. There's one coming. And when it happens, don't waste it. Lord, forgive me. I'm going to go on for you. I'm not going to let that failure drive me to suicide. I'm not going to let that failure drive me to discouragement and depression. I'm coming out of this because you'll give me what I need to not waste the failure. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I believe in altar calls. And I want to ask you this morning, with our music playing, I want to ask you to just say, Dear Lord, I have failed, or I will fail, and I needed the message from God's Word not to waste the failure. Lord, you spoke to me today. I claim the victory on that thing that plagues my mind and soul. I will not waste the failure.